sins of the tongue.
Last week we looked at the matter of talebearers. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Stressed quite a bit that just because something's true doesn't mean it's okay, therefore, to pass it on and share it with others. As a matter of fact, the Bible repeatedly tells us we ought to cover sins. That doesn't mean condone them. It doesn't say condone, it says cover them. In other words, not spread them around. Well, now tonight we're going to start with the matter of slander. If you'll turn in your Bible to Psalm 31, because this is another one of the Bible named sins of the tongue. Psalm 31, and I'm going to read in verse 13. Psalm 31 and verse 13. This is a psalm of David, and he says, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life." And so it was that David was slandered. Probably isn't anyone here, but what we have experienced that at some point or another within our life. We've been slandered. Things said. Again, usually slander is not true, but even a person might use something that is true to slander another person. The point is, something is said in a negative and malicious way. And here David says, "I have heard the slander of many." And it is a growing thing. Slander might start with just a couple of people. But negative things grow. Have you noticed negative things grow much faster than positive things?
Sure does.
As a matter of fact, some positive things never grow. But here is a situation where David says, "I heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side." A lot of times the things that will cause people to participate in slander is fear. Depending on what is being said, it creates fear in them. And so slander takes place. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together. Whoever was doing the slandering, they didn't do it alone, and they took counsel together against me. People will often get their heads together. It always concerned me. Now, when you see people standing on a church parking lot talking, that's absolutely okay. But there's been times when I've known things were going on in the church, and I've seen people standing together, they just stand a little different. I don't know how it is that they stand, but when you know things are going on, and they stand like a slanderer stands. And when somebody else is, they're just walking to their car. And then their volume drops. Okay? Now, you put all of this together. And so it is, slanderers take counsel together. Now, sometimes people are talking something on a parking lot, and what they're discussing is not slander. It's just a private matter that the two of them know, and it's not for general public. Hence, when somebody comes walking by, they're not going to continue to speak as loudly as they have been. So don't be paranoid that every time you approach somebody and they don't talk as loud, that it, you know, don't make assumptions that oughtn't to be made. What I described is true with slanders, but that doesn't mean that everybody that's talking is guilty of that. You know, you have to use a little discernment. You have to use a little bit of common sense on some of these things. But I have heard the slander of many, and fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Now, in David's case, it was literal. I mean, they were looking to kill him. And sometimes when slander goes on within families or in a workplace, in the church, it isn't to take somebody's life, but it may take a reputation, okay? It may take away friendships, okay? It's one of the things we saw with talebearers. They separate as very friends. And so slander can do that. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and conjunction. Okay? He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now there's two things that are fool. One that hides hatred with lying lips, and a person that utters slander is considered a fool. He that hides hatred with lying lips, this kind of person, they think themselves wise who can cover up their lies with a smile. I said to somebody recently that I knew a person one time, they could cuss you out in the nicest way, and when they were done, you'd say thank you. Okay? You know, this might be a verse descriptive of that. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, their heart hates, but they'll use their mouth to lie. And they'll pretend one thing, and they'll say one thing, but their heart hates. Okay? And you see, these two things are connected in this verse. He that uttereth a slander. The person that's lying, okay, the thing they're lying about indeed very well could be slander. There's a conjunction there, and I believe there's two things, but these two things are related. Now I want you to turn to the New Testament, to James. The book of James. In the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2. Let's do some, get some context here. Let's start in verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Maybe poor economically, in temporal or material things, but they're rich in faith. And heirs of the kingdom. They're rich in faith, and therefore they're heirs of the kingdom which he, God, hath promised to them that love him. What a promise. Might be poor in the things of this earth. And you know we're supposed to be content. But unless you're very, very unusual, you want to be content, but being content may be another situation. And sometimes all we can do is pray and say, God, help me to be content. help me to not always want more. And that can be especially problematic when what a person's wanting are just the necessities of life. You're not talking about some of the pleasures and luxuries. It's just some of the necessities of life. We're to be content with what we have. And God hath promised to them that love him. But ye have despised the poor. He's speaking now of some other folks. Ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Why would we want to be like people that have all kinds of money and take advantage of it? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Now, the term blaspheme here carries with it the idea of reviling or slandering. They are saying blasphemous things. Usually, when we see the word blaspheme, we think of it as blaspheming God. And many, many times in the Bible, that's who the blasphemy is against. In this case, the blasphemy isn't against God. It's against another person. What is the blasphemous thing? They're slandering. They're reviling a person. Do not they, the ones who oppress and draw innocent people before judgment seats, do not they blaspheme, slander, revile that worthy name by which ye are called? They blaspheme the name of God. What's the worthy name that we're called? Christian.
That's right.
And they blaspheme the name of God, of Christ, of the Christian. They slander. Indeed, slanderous things that can be said. Slander is one of the sins of the tongue. As I said, gossip is not in the New Testament, the word, but certainly the idea of gossiping is. Then we saw talebearer. Now we look at slandering. Now we're going to look at one more. And that's evil whisperings. Okay? Evil. Now, these overlap in many senses. One can lead into the other. All right? So they're not always hard and fast, distinct, separate things, though they each have their own distinct definition. But if you'll turn again to the Psalms, Psalm 41. And we're going to look at the matter of evil whisperings. Psalm 41. I like the way Pastor says, let's get a little context to that. That's good. Because so often, you know, the verse I have down is the text verse. But then when I get there, I realize, you know, I looked at some others leading up to it, but they haven't. And so I need to give them that. And so we want verse 7, but we're going to look at verse 5. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? You ever feel that way about your enemies? Of course you have. And it's not necessarily a wrong thing. Okay? We ought to be praying for them and all of that. We understand. But all David's doing here is expressing how it is. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. Oh, great. He comes into David. He talks to David. He interacts with David. And then when he goes out, that's another matter. Okay? I have a friend, and he told me one. He was sharing with me a problem. And he said, Roger, I am trying to relay it as accurately as it exists. He said, I do not like misrepresenting. And you know, I've never forgot that. Mm-hmm. And I dislike that. Oh, that's mild. I dislike that when somebody tells me something and they heap it on. They make it worse than it is. Yeah. What's the term? They put their own spin on it. Old Sergeant Joe Friday in Dragnet used to say it. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Okay? Just tell me it the way it is. But here, you see, he came to see David. He spoke vanity. Oh, said nice, wonderful things. And his heart was just gathering iniquity. He was just getting information he could take and put his own spin on when he went abroad and told what David said to him. Verse 7, all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. That's why I said slanderers, sometime they'll be together and they'll be talking in lower tones, okay? And when somebody else comes along, they'll change the subject or they'll just stop talking until the person gets by. Okay. Now I've walked up on some people and they were talking and they stopped and then they looked at me and they said, we're just talking about you. Obviously they weren't. It was just they stopped whatever they were talking. It's not always for everyone to hear. And so, but here, all that hate me whisper together against me. Slanderers will do that. They'll whisper together against a person. Against me do they devise my hurt. This is never done for good. It's always done for negative. That's why James says the tongue, a little thing, is like the world set on fire. A huge horse is controlled with the bit that's put in its mouth. But a tongue out of control is as dangerous as a horse let loose in here that's scared and would come run. Can you imagine the damage it could do? We can't imagine. And we can't imagine the damage that's done by a tongue in too many churches. And unless this place is perfect,
yes, sir, Pastor.
It's happened here.
Well,
50 years ago, 25 years ago, and maybe 25 days ago.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay? The tongue, it's to be controlled. He that controls the tongue can control the whole body. Psalm 41, verse 7. All that hate me whisper together against me. Oh, they say one thing, but they hate. Now, when love is lacking, it turns to hate. Now, remember, please, in the Bible, love and hate are not absolutes, but they are contrasts.
That's right.
And so when an individual is running their mouth, they're not showing love, they're showing hate. Oh, well, I wouldn't call it hate. Well, the Bible does.
That's right.
Amen.
It's good.
Now, Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, and with this we're going to close and we'll have someone lead in prayer. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, and I want you to see the context into which God puts the sins of the tongue. Beginning in verse 24, we find the world of apostasy is described. And he says, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Here it is. This is where God, this is the group that God puts: sins of the tongue, a lack of control of the mouth, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of things, disobedient to parents. Well, I'm not a fornicator. No, but when you can't control your mouth, it's as bad as fornication. And we'd look down our long, self-righteous church noses at somebody living in fornication, and yet we'll get on the telephone or stand in a church foyer and say things that God says are in the same category, not the same sin, the same category as fornication. Covetous, maliciousness, envy, murder. Murder? Surely God must be mixed up. He must surely... Murder's got to be in their own category. No, they're all in the same category of evil and wickedness. And when we say things about somebody else that we ought not to say, since I've started this series, has there been a time when you thought to say something and refrained from it and didn't say it?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I know it has to me.
Yeah, amen. That's a victory. Amen.
It sure is a victory. And it wasn't the most vicious thing, but still didn't need to be said. And I remember the guy standing up here preaching, and he said something to that effect. It doesn't have to be the worst thing. Oh, yeah. Backbiters, haters of God? You mean that when I don't control my mouth, it puts me in a category with people that hate God? Oh, surely there needs to be some clarification of that. He didn't give it here. He didn't give it. If it's somewhere else in the scriptures, it may be, but he didn't give it here. All right, we're going to end with that.
Brother Dale.